speak on the subject, theme is always, right now for me, looking unto Jesus. Just like Daniel did when he studied Daniel, he looked to the Lord. And we know that same Jesus who they crucified so cruelly, God has made both Lord and Christ. Amen. And I thank his Father, our Father, for that. Greater love have no man than this, than he lay down his life for a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. So we're looking unto Jesus. And I want to talk about today the ship. The ship. I want to tell you about the story, the response, and the faith. The story, the response, and the faith. So if you will, let everybody turn their Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Now I'm going to start at verse 22. Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 22. The ship. The story. When you all have it, just look up that. This way I know you got it. Don't worry, it takes me a while to get there too. Operators in the hands and eyesight. Take your time. All right. Waiting for a couple more heads, and as soon as we get the rest of the head, all right. We're all together in one place at one time. In this story here, I'm going to talk about how Jesus walks on the water. You know, there's always stories of miracles. I want you to understand once again, miracle is something that has never happened before, and it only happened because God allowed it to happen. People say, oh, it's a miracle. You showed up? No. Jesus walking on the water is a miracle. Daniel in the lion's den is a miracle. Because lions, if you get in his realm, what's he going to do? Snack. And his paw and his jaws are strong enough to break and crush your bones. He is also known as the King of the Jungle. But we worship a king who is the king of everything you see here that's been created. God flung the stars into the sky. But remember, through his Father. He had a Father he had an answer to. He said, let us make man in our image. So we're talking about the story here of Jesus walking on the water. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. I don't want to belabor the point. And straightway, now remember, this is right after Jesus had formed a miracle. When he fed all those people with the fish and the bread. Fish and bread. And that might be why they lived a long time. I don't know. Because I don't like fish. And the reason why I don't like fish is those bones. When I grew up in Gary, Indiana, my mother and my uncle, he came out of the bed, they went and got some buffalo fish. Now, I was in Gary, Indiana, so they got that buffalo from somewhere in Chicago or somewhere like that. And that's good water, but it's also very toxic water because of all those factories around there. And we had a steel mill there. And he said, come on, Dad, get you some of this fish. I went first bone I hit, and it's they're real subtle. And you got to be careful because you can choke on that bone. I was, nope. Mom, I want some fish sticks. Because that's why I don't like a lot of fish. It's got to be the bone, it's got to be a certain kind of fish, and I just don't, that's not my thing. I'll take fish sticks. I used to love, remember cod from, what was that? H-salt? Back when you get big old pieces of cod, and all those fried, I love that, but there's no problem with any bones in it. So, he had just finished feeding all those people with the loaves of bread. How many loaves?
Five.
And how many fishes? Thousands of people. That's a miracle. That is something that has been done, never been done before, and it never will replicate itself again. Because nobody has the power that Jesus had. People fake it. You got, they go to the magic shop and get magicians. And remember all those little magic shows they showed you? There was a trick behind it every time, wasn't it? It's called the sleight of hand. All right. And in verse 21, it said, they that had eaten were about how many? 5,000 men beside the women and children. That's in addition to. Okay. So, and straightway Jesus constrained disciples to get into a ship. In other words, he said, get on the ship. Now, when I was in the United States Army, I had to obey those who had the rule over me. In other words, they outranked me. When they tell me to do something, unless I had a command from somebody higher than them, I had to do what they said. So Jesus told them, get on the ship. Get into the ship. What is the ship day nowadays we all got to get into?
Church.
The church that Christ built. Okay? How many lords? How many faiths? How many baptisms? And then one Lord and God, Father of all, through us all and in us all, right? We got to keep these in our head. To get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. In other words, you go ahead and leave without me. I want you to leave without me. And while he sent the multitude away, he had to, you know, sometimes when you bless people with things, sometimes you got to, all right, now go home. You're like little kids, you know, you give them out candy, and they already been in, up to the front of the line once, and then here they come, go on, get on over there. You already got some. No. And don't you bully with somebody else with some of their candy. Leave them alone. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. He had to go sometimes, and oftentimes we have to isolate ourselves and pray by ourselves to God the Father, because we have personal issues that we need to deal with. That number one, we don't need nobody else to hear about it. Number two, you can focus more on your own issues, so it can help other people. Our prayers are to be private when it deals with us. And we can pray in public and here in church with other people, but sometimes people in the congregation are going through things that they cannot discuss with anybody. Sometimes not even the preacher, not even the elder, not even the deacon, because they feel that way. But they still must understand you still have an avenue to God the Father through his Son that you can go and pray on your own behalf. So who would Jesus pray to? His Father. As some people say, Big Daddy. I'm gonna tell Big Daddy. And he went up into the mountain, to a mountain apart to pray. Now mountains over there. As I said before, I used to work for the Israelis in a software development company, and I got sent to Tel Aviv. I went on a trip to Jerusalem. And when they say, let us go up, I've been there. That bus has to go up. Okay? And sidebar, the hotel I stayed at was the Don Panorama. It's still in operation to this day. And it's right there at the Mediterranean Sea. I was a 15-minute walk, what we call Joppa. They call Yaffa. That's where the fish incident happened. I was a 15-minute walk, and I actually ate at a restaurant out there one day that was Greek. And don't mess around with that Turkish coffee. It comes in a little pot. And you start drinking, and you get so loaded off that coffee. I said, what did you put in this coffee? No, it's just coffee. But I was up there in the clouds. So I had to cut it out. So as we went up, they showed us this grandiose area to the left and to the right up in front of us, because you actually have to go up. Jerusalem is up. And he said, this is where they believe that David fought Goliath. A grand battlefield. So as I went up the mountain, what they call a mountain and what we call a mountain can be two different things. Okay? It don't have to be 5,000 feet high. Remember, Isaiah said, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountain, and all nations shall flow unto it. It is up there. It's a trip that you have to make up there. So that part is true. But Jesus isolated himself by going up to the mountain so he can pray what? Alone. Find your own quiet place. You see, you can be sitting in your car. Sometimes I sit in the car and I just pray. Sometimes I can go and pray out loud while I'm driving my car. Other times other people around me, but I go into the closet of my mind and I still pray. And God hears all those things. But make sure your soul is clean of any sin so it doesn't hinder your prayers. So you got to make sure that happens. It straight makes sense. So, and he heard, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. So nobody was with him. He was by himself. And when the evening was come, he was there. Okay, so even though he was up there, it might have been near some folk, but when the evening came, he was all by himself, but he was away from the other folks. Okay? But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So the wind was working against that ship. Anybody ever been in a ship where it had no way to control the back and forth and up and down besides me? I was on a cruise ship. The first one was Jubilee. And then all they had was these little things, kind of like the cars have little things to cushion and make sure you don't bounce. But these little things, they're just bounces, but the ship was still doing this. And sometimes, oh, damn. And if you stand there and look, you're going to get dizzy. You might want to lose your lunch. But the second time I went on a cruise, and unfortunately two bad incidents happened on it. It's called the Magic by Carnival. When I went on there, they had thrusters. They did not have those balancers. And so when I got on the ship, we weren't moving. I said, when are we going to move? Oh, sir, they got to work. One of the thrusters isn't working. So I go to sleep. I wake up and it feels like the ship isn't moving. I go outside and the ship is not moving, it's flying. So the thrusters balance out all this stuff here. Now, we weren't in high waves, but then towards the end, we had that one night where you dress up in a suit and you sit down and had that, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm sitting there and it. I mean, it's very pronounced. It was going left and right. But we were in the midst of a storm. And it wasn't right on us, but it was close enough to us to shake that ship. And it threw us. I'm like. But we made it through. And see, when I get in situations like that, Lord, if it's your will be done. We don't know how we're going to go, but you want to go clean. When you go, you want to make sure where your soul goes by your service to God, get all the sin out your life, repent of every sin, so when you go, once you go, just know that you can't take it back. Look at the story of the rich man and Lazarus. He went straight to yes. So now we see that the disciples are in a very dangerous situation. The ship is being tossed to and fro, and I don't know how they dealt with seasickness. And if he was with them when they was feeding everybody, ain't no telling it. The Bible don't tell us. Because when you get, even when you get the, when I got off that Jubilee, you got to get your sea legs. But when you get off the ship, I was off the ship and it still felt like I was on the ship. Because I'm still going like this in my head and the ground's not moving. Yeah, it'll do that too. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. They're in the middle of the sea. They're not nowhere near land where they can, you know, just jump off, right? Tossed in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, what moves those ships? There's two things that would move a ship back then. It was the sails and somebody rowing. Didn't say we, but it tells me the sails were working, but you're getting thrown all over the place. And sometimes that ship can dip down so far, you think the water's, and sometimes the water does come up in there. Then they got to get the buckets and get the bailing, right? God help you if you're down below ship. That's a scary situation, isn't it? For the wind was contrary. In other words, the wind wasn't working with them. The wind was working against them. In your life, there are people who work against you. In the midst of your service to God, somebody is working against you. And sometimes you can't identify them. And actually, you don't need to worry about who it is unless they find out who it is. Because that rumor cycle is something else. You can't believe everything you hear, but you can sense somebody. And the reason why they're working with you is because you're working with God. God is in your life, and they're working for the devil. And some people just hate you just because of that. So they're being tossed to and fro. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now you see, is that a ghost? That looked like Jesus walking on the water. Why is he? Well, that's a miracle that happened. It never happened before. And it can't nobody else do. Now, you try walking on that water and see what happens. And think about this. If one of them sharks see you walking on the water, what's going to happen? Snack time. Everybody know about Santa Monica Beach in California? I've seen aerial views of people surfing out there and camera views and pictures, and right below those surfers are great white sharks, and they don't even know it. And if the sharks don't get them, that's if God wasn't allowing them to get you, because they see the sun. Oh, snack! There have been people who are on surfboards where the sharks, teeth are so sharp, when they bit the board, they broke the board and still got the person. So, yeah, God controls everything. But the ship is now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the waves was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, now in the middle of the night, Jesus came, went unto them, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Don't you think that would scare you too? If you saw Jesus, this is just a big if. Something floating down here. Now, they were not privileged to see him as he really is. They were privileged to see him in the body of a man. No man has seen God and what? Lived. We haven't seen him, but we see his character. But he took on the same body we have to prove to us that we can suffer all things such as known to man and still get our souls saved. He did not disobey his Father. It is a spirit. When they say it's a spirit, that's another way of saying it's a ghost. Now, usually when people see ghosts, what do they usually do? Run. But there's nowhere for them to run, is it? Sometimes you're in situations where there's no escape, but there is an escape. Prayer. It's always prayer. Even if it means it's going to cost you your life, you must be willing to lose your life for Jesus. Because we may not see that era, but we're edging up to that era. Don't believe me? Just keep looking at what's going on with the Bible said, in latter times, some to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of the devil, preach with doctrines and commandment of men. People become heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And it's going to get to the point. Like I said, we may not see it, but several generations from here, they might start killing us. So, It's a spirit, and they cried out of fear. So you ever see something to scare you, and you start crying? Now, when I was in, somewhere, and we went through the haunted house. I think it was at Riverview. Some of you might know Riverview. And something jumped up. So these were people who'd been with the master, and they scared. And they saw something. That looked, they knew that was when they saw a spirit, and it looked like Jesus. But is that Jesus? Is this a trick? They never seen anything like that. And so things can happen to your in your life that you've never seen before. But that doesn't mean God isn't there for you. We're talking about negative things and positive things too. But my God, how did this happen? You just said it. You're God. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, in other words, right off he let them know, be of good cheer. Have you ever heard that saying in a lot of movies? Be of good cheer. I'm with you. Well, you're not God. Hold on, wait a minute. I'm cheering when God's with me. Because I know no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You might have got me in a little trouble, but that don't mean you're going to win. It is I. Be not afraid. So we can, if God is on our side, who can be against us? Even though they may think they're winning, God can turn that whole situation around and they're losing and you're winning. Don't think he can't do that, because he can. He could have called 10,000 angels when he was on that cross. He could have jumped off that cross. He could have stopped the whole thing, but he knew he had a mission. We have a mission. That is to be faithful unto death. Now that unto death, you got to remember what that means. It could mean one day you're going to have to lose your life because of your belief in Christ. That can happen. Don't think it can't. It can't. And Peter answered him, saying, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Now, what kind of faith did Peter have? Didn't he have, sometime had that fluctuating faith? Like when he denied that was Christ, when they had getting ready. You know what, I tell people, some people know me, I say, let me tell you something, Peter was a thug. No, he wasn't. When they went to arrest Jesus, what did Peter do? Cut that Roman's ear off. Now, why do you think he did that? Because he knew how to deal with Romans. That sent a message to the rest of them. Oh man, this man crazy, cutting people's ears off. But Jesus had to get that man's ear and put it right back up there. That also demonstrates God does not expect violence out of us. You just process that. Just sit there and think that. He doesn't want us to get violent with anybody. We must take what's coming our way. It's part. Why do you think it said endure hardness as a good soldier? Unless you've been through something hard, you don't know how to go through it. So sometimes, oftentimes, you have to go through hard situations to make you a stronger soldier. All the training I received 22 weeks of training before they released me. Basic training. Military police training before they released me, and I was still a rookie. But that training is to prepare you for what? Battle. That was preparing you to, unfortunately, take other people's lives and protect yours. God is preparing us for battle. And the battle, the warfare, is spiritual. We don't war against flesh and blood, but we war against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, and you can see that increasing. So, we see here, number one, understand Jesus is the one who calmed the sea. It wasn't him. And he said, come. And when Peter had come down off the ship, he walked on the water. Now, as long as Peter's eyes was focused on Jesus, he was good to go. But what happened? But when he saw the wind boisterous, and he was afraid. See, those two things, if you fear the enemy, if you fear the attack, you will fail. You can't be afraid of the enemy. We couldn't be afraid of the enemy in the military. Oh, you're going to have some fear in your first conflict. But you've been trained to respond. And Jesus is training us to respond to the conflict that comes in our lives if you allow him to do it. Right? And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. Your fear of what God wants you to do in face of the enemy and you begin to fail, you will begin to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. But he had the good enough sense to call out to Jesus. When you're in the midst of your crisis, when you're in the midst of your battle, you better learn how to cry out to Jesus. Just like you used to do when you was a kid and somebody in every you would, I'm going to get my big brother. Mama, grandma, nana. And they come out sometime in the night. Yeah, my mother had to come out one time. And I was fighting five people at the same time. Five. Started out with one, here come the other people. And my mother had to come out. Y'all get up off of them. Only one of y'all get to fight them. When it was only me, then they ran. But you got to understand, you have a team that's working with you. Jesus and his angels. You know, the Bible says some of us have entertained angels unaware. There was one time, I think I was either going to the prison or coming here, but I used to go to IHOP up there by me. I freaking out. So one day I'd gone there, eat my meal, and I stood in line to pay for the food. This guy to the right of me, on my right-hand side, I didn't know the man. I don't know where he knew. He said to me, you're a good man. God loves you. I said, well, thank you, but I didn't know him. I did not know him. I don't know where he knows me from. So I chalk it up. I entertained an angel unaware. I don't know who that was because angels can take on form as us. Some of us have bumped into them. Now, the only reason why I said that, I don't know where he knows me from. I don't know him. I never seen that man, and I never saw him again. Never. That can happen. Don't think it can. There were times I was in a car accident. God grabbed my, I was on a 405 freeway in L.A. going to my job. I rock Z28, baby. I was out. All of a sudden, I looked up for a half a second, and I saw a plane fly over, go to LAX. I thought it was Air Force One. So I looked. When I looked back down, the traffic had stopped up in front of me. I immediately hit the brakes. I did, I don't know how many 380s. I was in the far left-hand lane, the fast lane. I did several 380s across every single lane of the freeway back over to an on-ramp. And I was facing this way. Traffic going that way, and the engine's going, vroom, 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 vroom. I looked, I realized people waiting for me to get out the way. The car didn't stop, but when that happened, it's like something grabbed my hands, and it steered me into the turn, out of the turn. See, when you spin out, you spin into it, spin back out, spin. I was doing it. That had to be God, because that car should have flipped over several times. I was doing at least 80 miles an hour. Now, you do the math. At that point, on my way back to go to my job in Thousand Oaks, I decided, I'm getting rid of this car. I didn't need all that power, and I did eventually get rid of it, you know. But those brakes, see, the rear brake locked up. It was like somebody picked up the back of the car and just went, and I just started going. And I didn't hit nobody, nobody hit me. That was God. That wasn't me. That was him. So, I just told you that story to help you out a little bit. Oh, ye of little faith, you know. Now, the Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, your faith and belief in God and his ability in your life and to save your life and help you save other people's lives spiritually, as long as you know what this word says and follow it to the letter. No alteration. We cannot pervert the truth. That's why Paul told Timothy to preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. When they want to hear and when they don't want to hear. Reprove, that's light correction. And rebuke is very strong correction. with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but heaping themselves teachers, having itchy ears. Oh, I like the way he said it. I don't like the way you said it. And that's the way it goes. We cannot pick and choose. So, but when he saw the wind, verse 30, boisterous and was afraid, he began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O ye of little faith, why doubt thou? Coming to the ship, and when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. So, that means Jesus and Peter. So, we cannot have faith. You got to have faith the size of a mustard seed. If you just have it enough, that much faith, just to trust him to do something, he'll do it. But remember, Satan's going to challenge you. Ah, yeah, you helped him out. I'm going to make him do this. I'm gonna make him curse you to your face. Sometimes that happens. Especially when you let anger and aggression build up in you. Sometimes somebody can catch you off guard. Trust me. It happens. And then people, even the people in the Church of Christ, want to criticize you, but the Bible says all have sinned and come short. That's when you repent. Nobody's guilt-free. So, that's the story. The trust in God. In Romans 10:17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by who? The word of God. Not the word of man. We can talk about the Hebrew, the Greek, the Apocrypha, however you say that, the lost books. I got the book that's going to save my life, and I guarantee you that book will contradict those other books you come up with at some point. That's how come some people get lost in things and they can't figure it out, but it's right. God has given us everything that pertains unto life, and all you got to do is do it. You can save your soul alive with the King James Version of the Bible. Trust me, that is my personal opinion. That's my personal experience. Now, others will disagree with me, but that's why the Bible says to study to show thyself approved. I told you that story about me and calculus. Some of those problems take 5, 6, or 7, 8 pages front and back to get to the final conclusion. If you saw those formulas, I had to, and all it took was for me to make one little mistake along the way and it throws off the whole answer. But I had a teacher who would give me credit for the part that I did do right. That was not an easy study. Anybody here take, don't raise your hand or nod your head. Anybody here besides me ever take calculus before? No? It's not an easy thing. It's sometimes I even had finite math. I had all that stuff, man, but I didn't need it for my career. I was working, let's see, I didn't get a college degree until 1998, but I'd already been working in the field with programming 13 different languages from 1977 up to that time. So it's just a gift God gave me. So what I want to encourage everybody to do is to trust in the Lord in all of our ways, all of your ways, and acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path, what this Bible says. With that said, we come to Christ by obeying the gospel. We're told to preach the word, the instant in season and out of season. Now, when you come to God, if you believe that he is, he is a reward of them that diligently seek him, he says you must be baptized. You hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, you repent of your sins, and then you got to be baptized, come out of that watery grave of baptism, your name is added to the roll of heaven. Then your job from that point on is keep it on. Don't lose your position. And there's also opportunity to ask for a prayer. If you repented, you request a prayer from the church, now is the time. This is